T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. He's been in the zone.
Ron Coomer.
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Coomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over. Right? It is over. The Cubs are World Series champions. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars. Infielder Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mully and Haw.
Woohoo!
On 670 The Score.
Man, looking forward to this. Our conversation with Ron Coomer is sponsored by EOC Audio, Chicagoland's leader in audio, video, networking, and home automation, EOCAudio.com. And we go out to the Busey Bank Score Hotline, building business, growing wealth since 1868, where we find Ron Coomer of the Cubs Radio Network and The Score. Hello, Coom. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Maddie. Gabe, how are you boys doing this morning?
Hanging in there?
Yeah, man. I was in the ballpark last night, and it was just so nice to be walking around the concourse on my way in and hear you and Pat together. It was an exciting one before it started, especially, obviously, to get Kyle back. That's a long road back, and it was interesting to hear him talk about the emotions that he was feeling. We're so used to him being like this cyborg here, this half human, half machine, but he's more human than machine, understand.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I knew going into the ball game yesterday that he would be, you know, there would be a lot of emotions. You just want him to get through the first inning and kind of get it out of his system and get back to pitching, which he did for the most part. I think the third inning, he really was the inning to me that, he gave up a few hits and gave up some runs, but that looked more like the Kyle with the changeup was better, the fastball. You know, I just think in that ballgame he got dinked a little bit, you know, the little roller through the infield, two broken bad hits, and, you know, next thing you know, they score a couple runs. But you're right, Matt. It is great to see him back in a Cubs uniform pitching. And now that you know he's healthy, his stuff looked good, his changeup had good depth to it. I liked his fastball yesterday with the run on it. So he'll be back, and that's like making a major trade and getting a quality starting pitcher. So that's a big plus for the Cubs.
And Coom, I think the profile should work with this infield defense and the way this team is built, right? Because Justin Steele is the best pitcher in baseball at not allowing hard contact. I was looking at this yesterday. He's at like 17%. Hard contact, far and away the best. Drew Smyly's fourth at 25% of allowing hard contact. Kyle had a couple of years in there when he was really rolling where he was at like 25%, right about where Smyly is. And he was helped by great defense behind him, obviously, in 2016, as you know so well. So if he is just like, a real good version of himself, the way this team plays ought to fit nicely with him, hopefully.
I would definitely think so. I really would. The difference with Kyle, as opposed to the two guys you brought up, Steele and Smyly, with them being left-handers, they're much more predictable on where the ball's going to go, right? You know they're pitching in, the knuckle curve to the righty. It's probably going to get hit to the pull side on the ground. And with Steele, he's pounding that ball inside of the righties, and you're going to get a lot of hooked ground balls. You're going to get a lot of broken back ground balls to the pull side for the right-hander. With Kyle, it's different. So to me, last night he got beat up a little bit on, you know, rolling ground balls the other way. I think the Cubs have to take that into account a little bit of who's on the mound and what their strategy is defensively, because you are 100% right. If they're playing in the right spots and they're kind of playing the field straight up, you're going to get a lot of routine ground balls. You're going to get a lot of double play balls. And Kyle's really going to benefit from the defense. And it is a very good infield defense.
Yeah, it seemed as though yesterday he was definitely working the strike zone, throwing high, throwing low, just kind of finding his way in those spaces. And that's something you want to do, right, Coom, after you've been out for a long time. During your career, Coom, what was the longest amount of time you had been out due to an injury? And then how was that for you coming back?
It's tough coming back. Probably, in the big leagues, probably just maybe a month and a half at the most, with a knee issue. Nothing sustainably long where I was out for, you know, the rest of the year. If I was out the rest of the year, it was because I needed knee surgery and I missed, let's say, the last 2 weeks or last week of the season where we were out of the race. And then it was just like, quit beating your knee up more and more on the AstroTurf. Let's just go get it fixed. So Kyle's injury is much different. And, you know, and the Cubs are much different, right? In this whole organization and the fan base and Wrigley Field, you know, he walked out to the bullpen to get started yesterday and he got a standing ovation by the bleacher crowd. And that's just a cool thing. It really is.
Ron Coomer with us here on 670 The Score. Coom, is Matt Mervis settling in a little bit? Some of the peripherals are good, even if the hits and the results aren't quite there. Like, he's hitting the ball harder. The exit velocity is up. The strikeout rate seems to be down. What do you feel like you're watching as you see every at bat?
I'm watching a young hitter who's really excited to be back, to be in the big leagues, and going through some of the same stuff that most good hitters go through, Matty. You know, he's trying to figure out what they're trying to do to him. He's trying to figure out what the organization wants out of hitters at this level. And I don't feel like he's walking up to home plate mentally free, physically free, and going, I'm just going up here to mash, right, and take my chances. I just don't see that guy yet. And that is no knock against the Cubs. It's no knock against Matt. That's baseball 101 when you come to the big leagues and you're a good hitter. And you're trying to fit in. That happens to almost every good big league hitter that comes to the league. So you just got to live with what you get sometimes. And there's going to be little bits and pieces of games that all of a sudden things click for him. And he's like, he turns into a ball player and bang, he hits a ball to left center for a double. Or he gets a left-on-left hanging breaking ball and he launches one to the seats. You just got to live with some of this time of him just relaxing and knowing he's in the league and he's going to be here and just play the game. Just play and take your chances. And as the season progresses, I think some of the veteran players and some of those guys will say little things to him that will register with him and all of a sudden, you know, click and he'll be back to the guy that was hitting in Iowa, kind of free mentally and physically and just going ahead and hacking away.
I love hearing that from Coom, right? Because we all want the best for Mervis, but to hear from you, you're seeing him every single day and you're like, hey, he doesn't seem so relaxed and comfortable at the plate and it's going to be a process. And I think Cubs fans love hearing that as well. Of course,
I think so, Gabe, but like sometimes those guys get sent back down.
Right.
But
Hosmer's gone now.
But Mervis seems to be a guy who deserves to stay up here and figure this out at the big league level.
And because people want to see that kind of productivity from him. So then they want that. They want to see it here at this level as opposed to sending him back down and have him try to figure things out. So I think you're absolutely right there. Of course, Cubs taking on the Reds today, 1:20 p.m. We got that right here on 670 The Score. Coom, we know that Bellinger was on the 10-day DL. That was retroactive from May 16th, so he should be, you know, ready to come back up. When he does get placed back in that lineup for you, what are you looking specifically for from Cody?
Well, you just hope he continues to do what he's been doing. I really like the way he plays center field. I knew he was a good center fielder, but didn't know to what to what extent, right, Gabe? And then, so when he's come here, all of a sudden, boy, we weren't even out of spring training yet, and you went, wow, this guy can go get him in the outfield. So he solidified the defense in the Cubs outfield instantly, and he brings that to the table, which I really like. And then the offensive side, just continue to do what you're doing. He's made some major changes in his approach to hitting, and that's allowed him to cover a lot more pitches. He's done a good job of laying off the high fastball out of the zone, which was kind of his kryptonite a little bit over the last few years. And to me, there's a few things. You know, when you're really going uphill, trying to swing uphill so much and elevate the baseball so much, you really open yourself up to a lot of holes and can be pitched to. And I think there are times where he has flattened out his swing this season and been able to use the other side of the diamond and cover some off-speed pitches, covered some left-on-left breaking balls that over the last couple of years were not going to happen for him. And he's hit some home runs. So I think he's doing some things to me that make him a more well-rounded hitter that he was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, before the shoulder injury, you know, when he was, you know, playing for the Dodgers and everybody, you know, he was the talk of the league as a young hitter.
I was thinking about you this past Sunday because I had a conversation with Justin Stone, the director of hitting, and he was really fun to talk to. But like, I know how you feel, and you and I have talked about like the launch angle and then, you know, whether guys should be coming from on top and trying to hit the top of the baseball, which is how you learned, right?
And correct.
And he doesn't believe that there is one way to do it. I was relieved at that. You know, there's as he's teaching everybody, there's not one way to do it. But what was interesting was he was talking about Bellinger. He said this about like about helping hitters, that you want to give every hitter as little as you possibly can in order to get them to do what you need them to do. So like not to overload them with analytics and philosophy and like, cause there's a million things you could do to make a guy's head swim. So I guess that's up to the hitting coach, but does that make sense to you? Like as a hitter, do you want as little as possible when these guys are coming at you with binders after binders after binders? Uh-huh. Just give me as little as possible to help me.
Yeah, they weren't a lot of binders back in the day. Maybe one, and that's probably a good thing for most of us that played. You know, I believe that in hitting, you know, what you want as a hitter is you and this is something to be a good big league hitter. You have to figure this out for yourself. This isn't something that you rely on a hitting coach to be. You know, to be your savior each time you come into the dugout and how was that, coach? No. You're a grown man and you're playing in the big leagues and it's your career and it's your swing and you need to know. And I think that's important. It's important for all big league hitters to realize that the best hitting coach you have is yourself. And you use these guys and these other tools to help you and be your eyes sometimes when you're at the plate. But boy, if you don't feel and know what you're going through and understand some of the simple corrections, you're going to have a short big league career. So that's the way I look at it. And that's the way I was taught. But you know, there are a lot of different ways of doing it. And if you're going to home plate with a bunch of information that you're trying to calculate before you step in the box and try to hit a 95 mile an hour fastball, good luck. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that's what they tell everybody when they get up to the plate, Coom. Today's game, of course, they got Justin Steele on the bump, the Cubs do, and he bounced back, you know, beautifully from his first loss of the season against the Astros, you know, pitched a gem at Philly. You know, when you're looking at him, he's only given up two homers all year. He's scattered some hits in every single game, but really seems to have a good control. You know, are we to expect more of the same from Justin Steele, or should there be some sort of like regression to the mean?
No, I think you expected for him to keep going. I really believe that Justin is just what we were talking about hitters. I think every big league player has to figure out what it takes for them to be successful in this league. And I think he's figuring it out, and we're seeing it, or has figured it out, and mm-hmm. we're seeing it. You know, not figuring. I mean, he's got maybe the best, or one of the best ERAs in the game. He's been extremely dominant. And it's fastball inside, it's cutter inside, it's slider inside. And oh, by the way, I'm coming inside again. Good luck, hit it. And he's able to command that pitch in there, which is the difficult part, right? That's the difficult. Throwing a strike on the inside part of the plate, throwing it on the corner or just off the plate in to get the chase, and then throwing the ball well inside to a right-handed hitter and getting them off the plate. So now you're getting them on that speed inside and having them hook. Now the whole outer half of the plate is yours as a pitcher. So I think he's really figured out what it takes for him to be successful. That's one. And two, when you watch him pitch and he takes the mound, he goes about his business. He gives up a hit, gives up a home run, whatever it is, and he just keeps pitching. And he keeps staying with his plan, and he keeps doing his job. And I'm a big, big fan. He pitched in Houston, what was that, 3 weeks ago or so, a couple starts ago. And nobody knew this, but he was sick as a dog the day before, right? The whole thing. I mean, the flu, and nobody in the traveling party that knew what was going on thought he would pitch the next day. But the Cubs bullpen was decimated, and they needed him. They needed someone to pitch. And he took the ball and gave him, I believe, 5 strong innings and kept him in the game. And when you watched him take the mound, he looked like death warmed over, right? I mean, he was scuffling. And he got through 5 innings, and you know what? That's a big league ball player. That's a guy that is going to do his job and understands team and understands what it takes. And a big tip of the hat to him on that day for doing what he did, and not asking for, you know, all of the world to praise him. He just did it as team, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. Nobody knew he was sick, and he took the ball, and I was like, that's a teammate right there. That's a guy you can go to war with.
Speaks, and then he tied his season high for strikeouts with 8.
Well, you know, we think of an ace as a guy with a super high ceiling who's going to dominate, but sometimes the ace is the guy who guts you through 5 or 6 when he's feeling like that, right, Coom?
Yeah, you that's a teammate, right? That's a guy that's playing for the team, not just himself. Now, at that time, he had the best ERA in baseball, right? And he could have easily said, I can't go. Mm. And that was his first hiccup of the season. And you're like, that wasn't a hiccup. That was might be the best start he's given the Cubs, because he was, you know, he was laying in a gurney the day before, probably getting IV, and now he's pitching for you. So those are the things that stand out to me when you start talking about great teammates. And, you know, and I'm not talking about going to dinner with a guy and going hanging out. I'm talking about a teammate, a great teammate on your team that helps you win ball games.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is.
Talking to Ron Coomer here on 670 The Score for just another couple of minutes. Ron, Christopher Morel is a delight. An absolute delight. But I work with a guy in the afternoons who is just head over heels in love with Christopher Morel. It's like he's Justin Fields or something, frankly. And I don't want to say who that guy is, but his initials are Danny Parkins.
Yeah, okay? Yeah. I'm fully aware who you work with. Speak.
Yeah, it's just he was wearing eye black the other day. He put on Christopher.
Let's go, Dan. There we go.
Yeah,
okay.
he put on Christopher Morel style eye black the other day, and I think he's going to do it every time that Morel homers. I was trying to explain to him that this is kind of how it works sometimes, because he's like, why wasn't Morel here? How could David Ross say there's not a path to regular at-bats? Look at him. Like, sometimes a player forces your hand because they have figured something out. That happens all the time in the game, right? Like, I understand why there was no path for direct at-bats, because he doesn't really have a position necessarily, and you're worried about some of the holes in the swing that were there last year. But he's forced their hand. This is just sort of the natural order of things, is my theory.
Yeah, I think he's emerged as a little more than the natural order. I wish I had that natural order of things when I got to the big leagues, and all of a sudden, you're hitting 5 home runs in 5 games. He's past that a little bit, but I will say, you know, you can make a case either way, right? We knew he has some struggles on defense. And mainly because he's not playing his natural position. So that's okay. His best position on the field is second base by far. He's not going to play second base. So what has to happen is the Cubs, as a group, as an organization, need to work with him at some of these other positions that he can play, because he's an impact player. I mean, you just don't have many impact players, right? They don't grow on trees. You just, all of a sudden, you see this kid coming home plate that can run, throw, hit for power. And when you talk about hit for power, he's hitting opposite field home runs 430 feet. So he doesn't have a position. Yeah, he does. It's in the batter's box. And wherever you put him on defense, that's good too. So I think he's a work in progress. There is no doubt about that. And that's what I understood of what the Cubs did going into the season. And then I also understand why they didn't bring him up immediately. When you make your roster out in spring training and the guys make the team, you want to give them the opportunity to show what they can do in the big leagues and not just start making moves immediately, you know, week one or week two. Give those guys a chance to play. But Morella's earned that right. He didn't go to AAA. He just dominated. You think about it. He's got, what does he have now for home runs?
20. He's got 20 total on the year.
He hit in Iowa like it was batting practice. I mean, for God's sake. I'm a huge fan of Christopher. I think he brings something to the table that's unique to our game. There's a likability about him that we all see. But he's a guy. Here, I'll say this. He's one of the few people that can be an absolute impact player in our league if he can continue to hit the way he's swinging. And not to the level where he's hitting five home runs in five games, but He's got that thing that you see with other players. Manny Ramirez, you know, there's some other guys out there where he can do some things that, you know, you looked at him and went, well, he doesn't have a position. Well, you better find him one, because he's going to drive in 100 runs and hit 30 bombs. So let's find him a spot to play.
A pleasure to talk to you as always, Ron. I will see you on Sunday. I get to do pregame and postgame in the fifth with you on Sunday. I'm thrilled to get back at it and look forward to hanging out.
Always great to have you in the booth, Maddie. Gabe, great to talk to you.
Likewise.
You guys have a great Memorial weekend. Yep.
You too. Thank you. That's Ron Coomer. By the way, the Cubs begin their series against the Reds this afternoon at Wrigley Field. Pregame begins at 12:45 with first pitch at 1:20. On The Score and the Xfinity Cubs Radio Network. It's Mully and Haw with Spiegs and Gabe Ramirez. We'll talk White Sox in about 20 minutes with Lamon Pope from the Tribune. Mark Schanowski at 9 to talk Bulls and NBA playoffs. And coming up next, from my night at the ballpark, I got a couple of questions for you, Gabe Ramirez.
Oh, I love this.
All right, we'll do that next on The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back in to Mully and Haw on 670 The Score. Speaks and Gabe Ramirez with you. Crank it, Brandon Fryer. Oh, man. Certain bands, Gabe Ramirez, have such a deep catalog that you discover a song later in your life, and you're like, man, this is every bit as good as any song the band has ever done. Crank it up one more time. These are the Kinks.
Are there any lyrics? Like, Gabe, wait for it, Gabe.
There are lots of lyrics, but Brandon Fryer is good at his job, so he just grabbed the music bed. He grabbed a couple different ones. This is the music bed on the way out with the guitar solo. Well done. This is a song called Jukebox Music by the Kinks, the brothers Davies, Ray and Dave Davies. They have an awesome unison vocal that's super sloppy on the bridge. But, like, they have so... You know bands like that? Like, Gabe, you're a longtime music guy, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Bands that have such good catalogs that you're like, what? I never even heard this song, and this is as good as any of the songs that they ever had in my whole life.
A lot of music that I listen to, unfortunately, their band consists of just a DJ.
I understand.
Like, in R&B groups, they're just, like, you know, harmonizing. They're not necessarily playing music.
But, like, there's a lot of R&B. Maybe it's more old school R&B. I don't know. Like, Earth, Wind, and Fire has such a deep catalog that you're like, oh, my God, this is as good as anything.
I think, okay, Queen is a band where,
absolutely,
like, you watch the movie or you just go back into the vault and you're like, oh, this was them?
Yeah.
You know, as a younger guy, you're like, oh, this was them. That
sure.
was Queen. This is another song that they got. Yeah. Like, they have a lot of hits. So I think Queen would probably be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's a ton of them. I'm sure the listeners are thinking of a million of them. But, like, I bring it up because last night I'm at Wrigley Field at the ball game, and a listener named JT comes up to me and introduces himself. He had his son with him and said, Speaks, what's up? You know, and we had a moment,
like,
talking. No, not at all.
I'm joking.
Not at all. That's our lifeblood, man.
True.
That's why we exist. Yeah. You know, that's why we get to do what we do. So I met JT and his son. He was there with his son. And he brought up that song because I guess I mentioned it like a year and a half ago or something. And now it's like one of his top five songs ever. He just loves it because the lyric is great. The whole song is great.
Okay.
So yeah, it was really cool. It's nice. Like, sometimes we wonder as we're screaming into the void whether there is any sort of connection with humanity going on.
True. People are like, you talk in front of a lot of people all the time. I'm like, no, I talk in front of one, Matt Spiegel.
Uh-huh.
And when I get in front of a lot of people, life's a lot different.
Yes, exactly. But you got people out there who listen to you, who feel you, who know you. So thank you for saying hello to JT. And anybody, if you see me or you see Gabe out there in the world and we've said something that resonated with you, come up and say hello, for God's sake.
I'm here for it.
I know you are.
I like the interaction. I think that, you know, I always talk about the rule of three, in radio, where I say every 3 years your air quote celebrity gets a little bit bigger and takes on different forms.
Yeah.
Like, your first 3 years, it's like, hey, I've heard of you before. You know, like, by year six, it's, you have quotables that are there.
Yeah.
Year nine, now you've cycled through a generation. And so it's like, I used to listen to you back when, you know, so I had that, I was at Big Star Taco on North Avenue in Damon. And this girl comes up to me, you know, she must've been like 26, 27. And she's like, oh my God. She's like, Gabe. I'm like, oh, hey, what's up? Can I take a picture? Sure. She's like, I've been listening to you since I was in eighth grade. And I was like, damn, you're a girl. You're drinking alcohol. This is weird. So, that kind of stuff.
That's how it happens sometimes. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What is your ballpark food item of choice? I have a singular go-to, frankly, on either side of town.
Okay.
And I love the two ballparks we have. I think it's really... I think it's really cool to be in this two-team town where the ballparks are different experiences.
Yeah.
You know, one you can tailgate at and have a great time on
the
south side.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And I've had many, many great days. You can bring your kid and have him go to the fun zone there, which I did with Ruben this past Saturday. The kid zone up there above
Take
left
a little
field.
Shower.
I didn't do the shower. Is the shower
too
still
cold?
There?
Yeah. The plumber's 911 thing. I think that's their.
Is this still there? I think it is. Right. I got to do that. He would love that.
So you got to wait till the middle of summer.
I agree.
I'd say my go to most certainly is beer. that fills me up every time I go to the ballpark. But I don't like grilled onions on a lot of things.
Oh.
But when I go to the South Side, like, I am getting a brat with some grilled onions and some mustard just because it just fits. Like, now I always want to get one of those helmets with the nachos and everything, but it's just too much for me.
It's too much.
Too much. So I always just end up with, the brat with the onions.
Now, you just hit on part of it for me. Absolutely. I'm not a big mustard guy.
Okay.
But a grilled hot dog. I go straight up hot dog. A grilled hot dog with grilled onions and mustard.
Yeah.
Is just, it's the jam. And I now have that every time I go pretty much to either ballpark. And the White Sox, there's so many good choices.
So many good choices.
The food at the White Sox is far superior.
We need something.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, don't laugh that hard. Don't laugh that hard. See, that's too, you could have chuckled at it, but you didn't have to.
I heard the pain, man. When if you share the real pain in a joke form, you got me.
So at Wrigley, what are you ordering there?
A hot grilled dog.
Grilled dog.
Okay. You got to find the grilled onions. The blue, I think it's called Clark Street Dogs. So the blue stand has where the dogs are, and now it's like, you know, grab and go. So it's weird, but you got to ask people, could you put grilled onions on this? And they'll go in the back and get it. What I miss that the White Sox still have is the stand where you can see the dogs being grilled and see all the onions being grilled.
All the onions are on one side.
Yes.
All the dogs are lined up.
Yes. And
you
I can
want
go
it or not?
Well, because I have a very specific type, which is give me your darkest dog and your darkest onions.
Okay.
I want like a char hot dog and the dark caramelized grilled onions that are almost
delicious.
Falling apart. That's what I want.
Okay.
You can't really ask for that at Wrigley. Right now. The dog is whichever one you grab, and the onions are whichever one that the people grab for you. And I
Sounds
miss
very
that.
Very Wrigley Field-ish.
Go ahead, get it out.
I just need
get
one.
It out.
I just needed one.
Take as many as you want.
Okay, it's okay.
Take as many as you want.
I know, because I'm going to let you finish the hot dog thing, because I got one more that I do like at Wrigley.
So the thing is that there used to be like several different grilled dog and onion stands at Wrigley, including the two older ladies who were all the way down the left side, like towards Waveland on that part of the concourse.
Okay.
And there were these two ladies, and they grilled the hell out of those dogs and onions. And you could wait in line, a long single file, totally inconvenient line that I miss, where you wait and you go up and you're like, give me that dog and those onions.
Yeah, please.
Please, yes. But they give you exactly what you want. I'm not getting that at Wrigley these days. So Sox Park wins the dog and onions with mustard competition.
You got to shout out Wrigley, though, because now they have Small Cheval there.
And yeah, they do.
Small Cheval is like one of those places where as a Chicagoan, you want to hate on it because you're like, come on. Nobody wants to wait at the regular Au Cheval for a couple hours to get a burger.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go to Small Cheval and you're like, dude, burger, fries, shakes, and alcohol, that's it. That's all you have. So you want to hate on it. But you can't because it's so good.
So like, that's all they have in there? I didn't
When you go to Small Cheval, it is a hamburger, a cheeseburger, French fries. That's it.
And milkshakes.
Milkshakes in terms of food.
Yeah.
And then milkshakes, alcohol. That's it. You got beer, $3 shots with like Evan Williams.
Man, that's
awesome.
That's a business plan.
Dude, and they have so many of them now, and it's been snowballing. But the reason why I speak is because it's so good. So the fact that they have it inside of Wrigley is pretty awesome. And then the other thing that Wrigley has
that's right, they do have it inside.
Because
there's the one outside
which is big.
Where Joe Madden's restaurant used to be right there on the corner. I didn't even realize there's one where is it inside?
I don't know where exactly inside, but they sell Small Cheval burgers inside of Wrigley Field. I've seen all the articles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The other thing that Wrigley has that is far superior to Sox Park is the cart of actual alcohol, not beer. Like it's a cart. It's like some girl, you know, walking around. And I just know whenever I go with my guys, we're very much like get double fist, like doubles.
At Sox Park?
No. At Wrigley.
At Wrigley.
Yeah, that's the cart that they just like roll around. You find someone on the 100 level. It's pretty awesome.
I've never seen the cart.
Oh, it's
rolling around.
It is like a maybe like a 2 foot by 2 foot, maybe 3 foot by 3 foot cart.
Wow.
That they walk around. It's hard liquor only. You get double pours of everything.
Wow.
You get to it. I've definitely gone there and spent over $100 on like the stupidest thing ever. You're like, yeah, I got this wrong, guys. And everybody's like, I'll take two doubles. And you're like, yeah. Eight doubles.
That's awesome.
136.
How have I never seen that?
Because you're probably in your seats watching the game.
It could be. But you know, like when I went to the Dominican Republic for the this past January with my dad and my brother, we went to a Dominican Winter League game.
Okay.
And it was unbelievable. The entire experience was outrageous.
Instead of nachos and a helmet, it was white rice and black beans?
Yes. Yes. There were those options. I remember what I ate, but what I drank, there were people walking around with making you margaritas.
Oh, wow.
They're like, okay. What would you like? There's mango, there's limon, yeah. And there's like three or four different flavors of margaritas.
For sure.
Made it right there in front of you and handed it to you.
It's
like,
awesome.
This is living.
That's what. Oh, didn't the White Sox have like the margarita pack? Like they had like a guy like walking around with
yes.
a pack and then they pour it into
yes.
your cup?
And Wrigley used to have it too, the Mai Tai guy.
The Mai Tai guy.
Hey, come here, Mai Tai guy. And he's got like a giant like oxygen tank sized thing of Mai Tais.
Baseball is just so much fun in the summer. Because it gives you all these kinds of memories and things you could think about, along with some of the best athletes in the world playing a game that
Absolutely.
Is extremely difficult.
All right, one other question about my evening at the ballpark. It was cold. It was cold as hell.
Yeah.
Right? I'm wearing two fleeces over a shirt. My head was cold. My wife brought two hats. They were both Cubs hats. They were both like toques, you know? Okay. They're both... Like the cold winter hats, and I wore them. So she and I sitting there in matching hats. Is that a yay or nay fashion wise? Sitting there with your wife in matching hats, dorky or not?
In Chicago, you are willing to give up fashion sense for comfort. But regardless of the month, if it's summertime, if it's dead of the winter. So, yeah, I'm all for it as long as you had a hat.
Yeah.
Shout out to your wife for bringing a hat.
Oh, for bringing two.
Two. I mean, like, it's just like,
that's
yeah.
That's a hero.
And
heroes come in a lot of different forms.
You guys should have just went to, like, Great America afterwards or something like that because that's what people do when they dress alike, right?
That's the thing. It's like, we are twinning. This is unimpressive. But it was, you're right. It was function over form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Function over fashion.
Yes. Function over fashion was the choice. And I stand by it.
I'm here for it.
It is 670 The Score. He's Gabe Ramirez. I'm Matt Spiegel. This is Mully and Hall. Let's talk White Sox next. After they drop one in Detroit, three more to go. Lamon Pope from the Tribune joins us to talk next on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We chased some today, as far as I can see from the dugout. And you know, I don't know how many pitches over the plate we missed. I know we fouled some good ones off, but you know, again, those are things that I gotta see tonight to see how much we really chased. But we couldn't get anything going. You know, overall as a team, we just gotta move on and get ready to play tomorrow, and you know, win tomorrow, and hopefully win the series.
That's Pedro Grifol after the White Sox dropped the opener of a big four-game set in Detroit. In the midst of a 13-game stretch against the division, they now sit at 7-3, 10 games into that stretch. It's Mully and Haw on 670 The Score, but it is me, Matt Spiegel, from your afternoon show, stepping in the morning, along with Gabe Ramirez. We're having a good time this morning.
From the night show?
Yes, excuse me, I'm so sorry. I apologize. Sorry,
I got a shift here, too.
Yeah, Gabe's going to kick my ass, man.
And I'm filling in for you on Hit and Run on Sunday.
God love you. It's tremendous. Gabe Ramirez from your evening show and Matt Spiegel from your afternoon show are here together. And now joined by Lamon Pope from the Chicago Tribune. He covers the White Sox and joins us on the Busey Bank Score Hotline, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Lamon, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, fellas. How's it going?
It's going all right. Pedro Grifol was talking about the offense, so let's start there. What did you see last night as the Detroit pitcher struck out 10? That's his career high by a lot.
Yeah, too many strikeouts once again. I mean, the last couple games, right? The game against Cleveland, they won 6-0, but they only had four hits, and so they were able to manufacture some runs in that scenario. And then last night, once again, only four hits. And so, you know, the thing that's been clicking for this team when they've been playing well has started with the starting pitching, and the offense has sort of done what just sort of enough. And in yesterday's case, you get a hit from Jake Berger, and he actually steals a base first time in his professional career. And so when Jake Berger's stealing a base, you know that something's happening for the offense. And then Tim drives him on in, and you're thinking, well, this might be one of those nights. But then there's nothing else really other than the Gavin Sheets home run. And so you just got to kind of, get back to some of those earlier issues that they'd had during the season with the too many strikeouts. And that was the case again there last night.
Yeah. Lamon, what's up, man? How are you? Good. It's good to talk to you as always. I feel like every time we're talking, it's a therapy session for me. And I'm just asking questions. And Lamon just is like, nope, Gabe, this is the realness when it comes to these White Sox. So I got to ask about Lucas Giolito. I think he kind of brushed off his start yesterday. You know, he didn't want to get too much into it. He's just like, hey, man, I didn't find my stuff. Spiegs and I were talking where, you know, there was a couple of walks where it was just like four straight pitches or five straight pitches. You know, nothing that batters were battling through. Do you look at it the way Giolito did, or do you look at it as Giolito's just body of work where you're going to get some good games and you're going to get some bad games?
Yeah, I kind of look at it the way that Lucas did. I mean, it was one of those situations where, you know, the first two batters out of the box, strikeout, and again, it's one of those situations where it's like, okay, Lucas is going to be on like he's been recently, and then just sort of lost his rhythm. When I asked him, you know, when did he sort of feel that he lost the rhythm, and he said, well, you know, honestly, I didn't think I really had a rhythm throughout one of those games, or throughout the game, and so it was the situation maybe where it's going to be, hey, I'm going to have to kind of battle on through this, and just too much of the wildness, you know, and as you said, just so many uncompetitive pitches in that sort of situations where, you know, ball one, ball two, ball, you know, ball four right away. And so it was one of those nights where you can tell that he was sort of battling it throughout the outing. But I do think, you know, the way that he's pitched throughout this season, it's one of those rare blips, because he's been one of the more consistent pitchers in this starting rotation throughout the season. And so I kind of agree with Lucas in the fact that, you know, hey, you know, this is just one of those nights. You know, it's going to happen throughout the course of a season for a pitcher, and then let's kind of move on to the next starting for him to see how he can bounce on back.
You can look at the wins and losses and see what three straight series wins, and obviously like 7-3 so far in this 13-game stretch. And overall, I know it's been much better. There's still, of course, 10 games back and 6 games back of the Central. But as you watch them every day, Lamana, there's no substitute for that. Like, so you're seeing the way they play overall. Are they playing cleaner? Are they playing a better brand of baseball where they can win games in the margins, not just games where they slug like crazy?
Oh, I still have to kind of see that, Matt. I mean, I think it's one of those situations, again, you know, as you said, you know, winning three series in a row. I mean, this was a team that all of April didn't do that. They didn't win any series, right? They went 0-8-1 and to start the season off in series. And so when you win some series, that's showing some improvement. But I just really have to see that a little more on a consistent basis, just winning, doing those little things to win ball games consistently. You know, the situation again, with the Cleveland game, you know, there was a really good play that Tim made, ground ball up the middle, made a diving stop, and he had the fortitude to go ahead and make the throw to the plate to get the runner out. But then last night, there was a situation, a ground ball that was hit his way, and he kind of hesitated, thinking maybe he can make the tag at second, and he wasn't able to do that. And then by making the throw to first, is a little late in that situation. And so it's just sort of cleaning up those little small things for overall for the ball club that I have to kind of see on a consistent basis before I can say, you know, this is a team that can kind of do those things and win those type of ball games day in and day out. But when you get the starting pitching that the team has gotten, that's definitely a positive. And that's one of the things that's helped on out, because the bullpen was taxed early on in the season. And so the guys in the back end have been able to kind of get into a little bit of a rhythm and sort of like roles as well as that's concerned as well. But you also take a look at the makeup of the schedule, right? In this month, I think they've only played two teams that have had winning records, Minnesota and Houston. And then, you know, we're going to see a little bit more. Detroit's only a couple games under 500. We'll see next week when they play the Angels as well. And so, you know, they're going to start, and then we get into June, and that schedule is, you know, much more difficult. You have the Yankees, you have the Dodgers, you have the Mariners, and on and on and on. And so, you know, I think, you know, talk to me in about a month, and yep. I might have a little bit of a better answer when that's concerned.
That's totally fair. What are you seeing with Tim? What's his mindset? Where's his mindset and swagger that he needs to have at peak to be great?
Yeah, you know, we asked Pedro just sort of like, you know, what's he seen from Tim, and he said, you know, it was sort of like the answer that Lucas gave. He said, you know, Tim's one of those guys I'm not concerned about. You know, he has that track record. We know what he can do on a day in and day out basis. We know that, you know, it might be one game that can kind of spark him offensively, and then he can get going and be that 300 plus hitter that we know. And so, you know, it's one of those situations still kind of coming on back. I know he does want to say that, you know, the injury might still be a factor, but, you know, I think I do think that still might be a little bit of a situation just coming on back from the injury. And also it's one of those cases where I think that, you know, again, he's been able to make some good defensive plays and some little defensive lapses as well. And so once he gets his legs totally under him, I think he's going to be A-okay. You want to see a little more of the power come on back. I think a little bit overall, you want to see a little more power out of the top of the lineup. And so that's a little bit of a concern, but I kind of tend to agree with what Pedro was saying. Tim has that track record. You know what he can do on a day-in and day-out basis. And once he kind of gets into a rhythm, I think he's going to be A-okay.
Lamont, somebody else on this team who hasn't been dealing with injuries, he's played 50 of the 52 games for the White Sox this year, and that is Andrew Vaughn. You know, we were talking earlier on the show about whether or not he's getting a free pass this year, batting .233, you know, on pace to hit less homers than he did last year, on pace to strike out more than he did last year. You know, when you're seeing Andrew Vaughn, he was supposed to, you know, now be settled in at first base, not using his legs in the outfield, all that good stuff. Aren't we supposed to be seeing more productivity from Andrew Vaughn?
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, yeah, I think it's, you know, there's also the aspect of still kind of, you know, adjusting to playing first base. You know, there have been a couple of situations where I think, like, you know, there have been some ground balls that it's like might range a little too far, and it's like, and, yeah, particularly that I remember the one of the few hits that Joe Kelly gave up against Houston is like, you know, a little bit too much far as rangy. But from the offensive standpoint, yeah, you want to see a little more consistency. You know, here's someone who, you know, you wanted to kind of maybe tab on in that number four or number five slot in the lineup. And so on a day in and day out basis, you want to see a little bit more from Andrew. You know that the potential's there for sure. And I think it's one of those situations where, you know, the offense as a whole, it's you've had Luis playing well, you've had Jake playing well, but up and down, you know, obviously Yoan coming back from the injury and missing some time, but when he was healthy at the start of the season, he was very productive. But you want to see a little bit more of the offense kind of clicking, as Benintendi's been solid, particularly here recently. But you overall want to see a little more production up and down the lineup as far as that's concerned, because you can't, as well as the starting pitching has delivered so far this month, you can't really rely on that on a day-in and day-out basis. You're going to need a night like, you know, even last night where you can kind of get a little more production from the offense if someone like Lucas has an off night like last night.
Lamond, great catching up with you. Thank you so much for the time. Enjoy the rest of the series in Detroit.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
All right, appreciate it. That's Lamond Pope from the Chicago Tribune. Matt Spiegel and Gabe Ramirez here with you on Mully and Haw. The Celtics are alive. Jimmy Butler says they'll be dead soon, though. And let's talk Bulls as well with our guy Mark Schanowski next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.